New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today. Welcome to today's Integrative Hermetic Health Show. My name is Johnny Bluestar, and I'm happy to present our host, Hugo Rodier, MD, an integrative medical practitioner with a specialty in nutrition and gastrointestinal disorders. Today, Dr. Rodier is going to help us understand the reality and elusive claims about cholesterol, which has been principally over the years linked to the hardening of the arteries and heart disease. The discovery of cholesterol and this linkage has a somewhat contorted and confusing history, leaving many of the public perhaps somewhat misled about how to understand to approach the cholesterol factor in protecting our health, particularly in relationship to heart disease. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Johnny.
Before we get into the tricky misconceptions of understanding cholesterol, maybe you could enlighten us a little bit about its known functioning in the body in the normal sense.
Excellent way to start. Cholesterol is a benign molecule that we find in food, of course. And it's critical for making a whole lot of structures in our body, like the brain. Our brain is 80% fat, if you will. Of course, you know, we all know some people whose brain is 100% fat. Then we need cholesterol to make up the membranes of practically all cells in the body, which are 80% fat. Then we need cholesterol to make our hormones, testosterone, estrogen. Practically every hormone needs cholesterol. And so it's a very benign molecule that got demonized a few decades ago. And the history of that is quite compelling. Anybody can Google that. The New York Times, Time Magazine, a whole lot of scientific articles, you know, were tapped into, looked into to write these articles that are more laic, if you will, more accessible to the public, to non-doctors, non-scientists. So what we're going to talk about is quite well-based and very good literature. So we have to wonder why such a benign molecule got demonized and who was behind it. But again, you know, it's a great starting point to point out that cholesterol is, let's say, a God-made molecule for the benefit of man.
I understand that cholesterol, among other things, is like a precursor to vitamin D, that it's actually formed through the ultraviolet light from the sun.
Yeah, it turns out that vitamin D is not a vitamin, it's a pro-hormone. So like I was saying, cholesterol is critical for the synthesis of vitamin D, as you call it, and just about every other hormone in the body. And then that's a great connection that it has to do with energy. Fats have a lot of energy. Fats accumulate energy. And we've talked about that before in other shows, how it all boils down to energy. So
yeah,
bringing up the sun, and it's always a very welcome thing to do. And before we started the show, we were talking about sun theology, if you will, from ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. The sun is, in many religions, has had a sort of been the prime symbol of God.
Exactly.
Yeah. What I don't understand is, so it actually helps structure these molecules, right? These other molecules and hormones in particular. Is that correct?
Right.
So what, besides being called, I mean, what do you call something that structures things like that?
Well, there are many things that go, that are necessary to make up our cells, our bodies. And so some are cholesterol, others are proteins, other amino acids, others are sugars. And so those are the main three molecules that go on to compose every cell of our body, exactly what we eat. So the big three pillars are sugars, proteins, and fats.
But what I mean is it almost seems like to have a genetic function in so far as it's actually creating many different types of structures, right?
Well, yeah. It's all coded. The whole synthesis of any cell, anything about our body is coded in the DNA, which is mostly proteins. In the process of making these proteins, they have to go through ribosomes, and that's where other things are added to the proteins, fats and sugars.
I see.
Yeah.
Now we've discussed sort of like the beneficial aspects of it. We were talking about how it sort of became something quite problematical. What are the leading misconceptions to the public these days? What's produced it? I'm talking about stuff related to the heart conditions and atherosclerosis.
Yes, that's the main demonizing story, and that is a great way to follow up. It turns out that in the 60s and 70s, articles began to come out that cholesterol might be behind clogging of the arteries. But when we trace those articles, they were all coming from a pharmaceutical company that was trying to sell these new drugs, statin drugs, when the NIH itself, the National Institute of Health, conducted independent studies to look into this emerging science about cholesterol being involved in plaques and found no evidence whatsoever that cholesterol was the trigger for these plaques. But where there's smoke, there's fire. So is there cholesterol in plaque? Yes. But this is where the story goes wrong. It turns out that cholesterol, remember we were talking about that it makes up cell membranes?
Yeah.
All right. So the cells lining the walls of our arteries are like any other cell, and most of the surface area of those cells lining the arteries, we call it the endothelium, are made up of fats. So if they're irritated in any way or oxidized, you know, the wallpaper of the arteries, they need to be fixed. Now, before we go on, why would the lining of our arteries, the cells of our arteries, be irritated? Well, bad food, and it's mostly sugar, which we'll return to. But for now, focus on these lining cells being quite irritated. So guess who jumps in to go fix them, to rejuvenate them, to decrease the inflammation, to repair the leaks that will spring up from irritated cells lining?
Oh, I think I have an idea what that is.
Yeah, God made it so. And so cholesterol goes up to patch up those leaky arteries, just like the Danish boy? No, wait.
Holland.
Holland.
He put his finger in the dam.
Exactly what cholesterol is trying to do. Yes, you know, everybody's heard of leaky gut, right?
Yeah, nowadays.
Well, guess what? We've got leaky arteries as well. And that comes from those cells lining the arteries being irritated, inflamed. So when they are so, they shrivel up, creating the gaps we're talking about. And so we've got this amazing mechanism called cholesterol that is called into action. So it goes to the arteries to patch up leaky arteries.
Astounding that it's the absolute, almost the absolute opposite of what they're saying.
Exactly. In fact, they're shooting the messenger.
And the pharmaceutical company is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now it gets even more interesting. It turns out that the cholesterol we eat, in order to be prepared to carry out this plugging function, if you will, this repair function, it's managed in the liver. So we've known for decades that cholesterol is a liver issue. So you and I could be eating a lot of cholesterol, but if my liver is not so good and yours is really good, you will do a really good job putting out cholesterol that's healthy and ready to do that plugging up in the arteries. But my cholesterol coming from a liver that's not so hot will put out cholesterol that is not that great. You might even call it sticky, inflamed cholesterol.
That's what you call bad cholesterol, right? What they call bad. Yeah.
So when it goes up to the arteries, yes, it does plug up the leaks, but it doesn't do it well. The job is botched.
Oh.
And so you got sticky cholesterol, inflamed, oxidized cholesterol coming out from my liver that's not so hot, and we'll return to that again. So this cholesterol gets up to the arteries, which are already inflamed, the lining of the arteries, the cells. Now you got Velcro. Yeah, you got sticky arteries and sticky cholesterol. Yeah, cholesterol or Velcro. And that is why you build up plaque, because the job, cholesterol's job, was bodged. So you end up with very defective plugging jobs. It's like you hire a bunch of masons that don't know what they're doing, and they get up there and try to patch up this drywall with really bad cement, if you will.
I heard that a claim, I don't know if it's true or not, that a lot of the material deposited in these arteries is calcium, something akin to lime.
Well, is that true? That's part of the botched job. So the plaque gets solidified, calcified, if you will. Yeah,
oh,
because of what you said. But my point is that when the friendly pathologist finds out everything about you a day too late through the autopsy, he finds cholesterol in the plaque. And so he calls the pharmaceuticals and says, "Hey, guys, plaque is because of cholesterol."
Right.
Now, is he right?
Not yeah.
Really,
and you actually, if you're healthy, you want... I'm sorry, let's see, I don't want to divert too much, but these things like saturated fat and other stuff that was so bad actually is helpful in a certain amount, right?
Right. So, yeah, we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
So I'm putting aside a few items so that we first understand where this madness came from.
Right.
So in a way, yes, there is cholesterol in plaque. Well, they're also good soldiers in the battlefield after the bad guys win, you know. So the point being that they use that fact, that there's cholesterol in plaque, to blame the cholesterol.
Wow.
When cholesterol was there to protect you, it just that you didn't give it a chance to do a good job plugging up leaky arteries because your liver was not that great. So that's the main point. Now we got to unpack this a little bit, so we look at the liver and sugar and other things that we left in the wind.
Well, let's do that just in a few minutes right after the break, okay?
All right.
This is pretty exciting and sort of threatening to hear that level of misconception about the functioning of cholesterol. We'll be right back. Thank you. Here are a few messages followed by a song that never seems to die. Created in 1955, it found its renaissance in Ghosts with a famous version of the Righteous Brothers. Now here's a much newer version created by the amazing Patricia Welch. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. Want to write a book but don't want the challenges of developing time-consuming social media platform, costly private book promotions, complex email campaigns, and advertising commitments? If you write a book about your business, you don't need a mass audience. Focus on prospective clients with the best business card there is, your own book. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
My darling, I've hung wait for me. I'll be coming home. Wait for me. Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch.
We're back again with the Integrative Hermetic Health Show with Dr. Hugo Rodier, an MD who is an integrative physician, and we are discussing now something about cholesterol. And I'm really interested to know something about where it comes from. Where is it produced in the body, and how does that all work?
Well, sure. Well, it comes in our diet. We absorb it in the gut, so your gut bacteria has a lot to say as to how well you do that absorption and processing, if you will, of cholesterol once you eat it. Then it gets to the liver. Okay, so it's sitting in the liver waiting for instructions on where to go to make hormones, to make the brain, to patch up leaky arteries, which is our focus today. So if the liver is behind the eight ball, it's not going to put out good cholesterol to do that patch-up job.
Right.
So what's causing the liver in some people to create problems or a cholesterol that's already sticky and oxidized? Well, one can be genetic. So before we move on, we have to say that there are some people who put out terrible cholesterol, and those drugs that are used for cholesterol lowering may be a good thing for them. But these
right.
people are rare, okay? So let's move on to 95% of the population. Whose livers are compromised by toxins in the environment and too much sugar? Surely you've heard about fatty liver by now, right, Johnny?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, fatty liver is an epidemic in our country. Why? Because we're eating too much sugar, not too much fat. Too much sugar causes the liver to become fatty and lose its ability to optimally manage cholesterol for the job we're talking about.
Wouldn't you say that in addition to cholesterol, certain fatty substances have been really abused and given a bad name too?
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm not saying here, let's all eat the Atkins diet and pig out on fats like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
No, there's moderation in that. And of course, I would want to make sure I'm getting unsaturated fats and mostly fats from vegetable sources, you know, nuts and olives and fish and avocados, those type of things. So while I'm trying to find the real culprit, sugar that messes with the liver, I don't mean to say fat is totally innocent. The processing
right.
of sugar and fat is a problem, not the way God made it.
I see.
All right. So back to the liver, this liver thing, fatty liver. You know, it's everyone with a little bit of weight around the waist is already working on fatty liver. And you can see the cholesterol begin to get all fouled up in the liver. in your blood once that happens. So all this is associated with prediabetes. You know, I caught all kinds of flack when I first began to talk about this, despite the evidence. So check out my last blog, Could It Be Sugar? In that blog, I got permission from an excellent doctor who wrote a terrific article in Medscape. So I pretty much reproduced the good doctor's article because, you know, I've been saying this and nobody pays attention. I figured, you know what, let's rehash it again by tapping into another good doctor's wisdom and good research. So the blog is posted on HugoRodia.com. Could it be sugar?
Right. And there are many other blogs there, too, on various interesting subjects.
Thank you.
Well, what about the role of HMG? I don't know exactly if I'm pronouncing this correctly, of HMG-CoA reductase.
Yes, very good question. Turns out that that molecule was first discovered in the fungus that grows on fermented red rice in China.
Really?
Hundreds of years ago. Yeah, so they use that molecule out of the fungus that grows on the fermentation process of brown rice in China to treat heart disease. And so the pharmaceuticals caught wind of this and isolated that enzyme, which works on the liver, on this very process of sanitizing or optimizing cholesterol's function, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with a drug, the first statin drug, and that's where the articles came out, demonizing cholesterol. You're not going to sell the drug unless you demonize cholesterol.
They're trying to inhibit this enzyme, right? They're trying to inhibit
exactly.
it.
Exactly, right.
And those are what statins are, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what they are. So they work on the liver. But, you know, they carry a lot of side effects because they really mess with liver function to the point that these drugs have been associated with not only Alzheimer's, but with diabetes. Why? Alzheimer's. You're blocking the processing of cholesterol, which we already established you need to form neurons and most of your brain.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Two, you're messing with how you handle sugar and cholesterol and other molecules in the liver. They've been associated with more diabetes. Now, follow this. The more the statins trigger a diabetic tendency, the more you foul up the cholesterol. You're chasing your tail when you take these drugs.
Wow.
Now, remember that they came from fermented red rice. So the pharmaceuticals first had to demonize fermented red rice. Oh, it's no good. It's going to kill you. But never mind. We made it more powerful by creating this drug, which is totally fine. You'll do fine. Don't worry about it. And all the while demonizing the grandpa, if you will, fermented red rice.
So is this really due to the bad research that was done? Does it mostly come from that pharmaceutical company that did that research?
Well, then it mushroomed. Then other pharmaceuticals began to run with it, and now it's like cast in stone. If any doctor gets up there and says, wait a minute, these statin drugs, maybe, you'll get stoned to death. So it's become an axiom of faith right now. That's why I quoted that other doctor in my blog, you know, so share the blame, I guess, huh?
Could we, I'm going to name some drugs, and you tell me if these are ones that really are inhibitors, the enzyme, and produce these side effects, like Lipitor, is that one
yes.
of them? Mevacor?
Yes.
Provacol?
Yes. That was the first one. Provacol was the first one. The real name is Pravastatin.
Oh, I see. They changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Zocor.
Yes, they're all statin drugs that you're mentioning.
Are there other ones? Are there a lot of more?
Crestor. And then there are some new ones that I don't even want to know about, but they're the just Me Too drugs that are made more powerful and more expensive, of course. You know, before we leave the subject of statin drugs, I must say that they're also associated with a depletion of CoQ10,
oh, okay.
which is critical for muscle function.
Right.
Well, for everything, really, but a lot for muscle function. That's why a lot of people get muscle aches and pains when they take statin drugs. And the other thing that must be said about these drugs is that they do have some benefits. I already mentioned one, those genetic people that are dropping dead in their 20s, you know, from a lot of clogging up. Yeah, they have a defect in the liver that they have to take these drugs to stand a chance to live longer. So there are those families, but I'm talking about the general population, 95% of the population under the curve.
Well, here's something related to what you mentioned about CoQ10. Talking about heart failure, now this is really strange. Rates of heart failure have doubled since the advent of statin drugs. The heart is a muscle, I'm quoting this, that depends on a plentiful supply of CoQ10.
Right.
That is really...
Which is plentiful.
So you're having a heart failure, actually, heart failure due to these drugs, possibly.
A contributing factor, let's just say that. Because the main factor in heart failure is clogging up the arteries so the muscle is not getting enough blood, the heart muscle.
So how do statin drugs affect the heart failure then if it's not by, you know?
They're prescribed for every heart failure patient because a lot of heart failure is clogging up the arteries from cholesterol. So they assume that we got to work on the plaque formation, so they put on statins. Inadvertently, they are increasing the chances of diabetes, as we already mentioned, which is also associated with congestive heart failure, and depleting CoQ10, which is another factor. And so that's why nobody gets better when you do drugs. You're just treating the leaves, not the root of the problem. And that's something we've talked about
a lot
ad nauseum about the pharmaceutical approach. But before we continue to beat up on these drugs, let me just say one more thing. There are some benefits. A great article in the British Medical Journal, it was The Lancet, made it very clear that there is benefit, but it's no more than an apple a day, all right? And so you're spending all this money when you could be eating an apple a day and get off sugar, and you'd be just as good. The other point that I want to say about these drugs illustrates the same story. There are some benefits. In fact, if you take a group of men and follow them for 5 years, you will prevent a heart attack in 62 men in 5 years. Okay? So you can see that there is benefit, right?
Yeah.
But if you talk to any statistician and you say, you quote these numbers, they'll tell you that if the group of men benefited is bigger than 50, then the cost-benefit analysis is not good. Meaning, okay, yeah, there is some benefit. But if the benefit was above 50, then it's not financially feasible.
Right. Well, you know, there's another thing that you said. You were talking about cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's. I think there's something else that goes along with this, which sort of is a determinant of older age, which is neuropathy.
Yes. By depleting CoQ10, you also find more neuropathy. It turns out that statin drugs also deplete the body of B vitamins, which are critical for neurologic function. And also for liver detoxification, methylation in the liver, and also for making neurotransmitters in the brain. So by curtailing B vitamins, statin drugs can also create problems. But again, the benefit is such that in a group of 62 men, if you prevent one heart attack, there is benefit. But that group was bigger than 50. So is it really worth it? I say no, unless you have a genetic issue with those families that I was talking about.
Well, I understand. Do you know, I found out an interesting thing, that the cholesterol was found a long time ago in rabbits.
And exactly.
At that point, I don't know how many years ago, but people in the medical industry, in medical research, didn't think that rabbits had much to do with human beings. And so they didn't really look at it at all. For a long time until later on. But also, I noticed here in what I've been reading that in studies connected to rodents, there have been statins have seemed to have caused cancer. And that there have been some human trials where maybe something has shown up. Like in one trial, breast cancer rates, those taking statin were 1,500% higher than those of controls. But these are primitive.
Well, sure.
These are just beginning studies, right?
Right. Yeah, we don't hear much about them, but I can see the mechanism. It makes perfect sense why that might be happening.
Uh-huh.
Of course, cancer is multifactorial.
Right.
But when you figure that 85% of those factors are environmental, then you can see why the statins might be a problem. Because if cancer is 85% environmental, well, it is, then you want to look at chemicals and products, toxic products in the environment. And how do you detoxify them? In the liver. And if your liver's already behind the eight ball, because you're taking a statin drug that suppresses some of its functions, then you can see why cancer might go up.
Well, listen, doctor, we're going to have to take a break now. And I hope that we're going to see how people can write their health direction in the next discussion.
All right.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
Dr. Hugo Rodier has published 4 books on health issues covering practically all chronic health problems. You may find them by accessing his website at hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Gut health is the most academic, while switching off chronic disease is the most patient-oriented, with simple recipes to implement his nutritional protocols. And now for a song by Patty Greer, a blues rock song by a singer, composer, musician, who's also an award-winning UFO filmmaker. You can purchase her films and music at cropcirclefilms.com. Patty is a profoundly adventurous and creative person whose films radically challenge the conventional way of understanding the world. Here's a song called Love Heals Everything from Patty's album, A Deeper Dance of Light.
gonna have to break that lock and turn the key. An open heart can set you free. Move on here. Don't look back. Gotta keep it moving on a smooth track. Oh, and sing the words.
Well, we're back with Dr. Hugo Rodier. We've been talking about cholesterol, which is a rather complex topic, particularly because our society has been very misdirected by the pharmaceutical industry at a certain point and has been feeding our, shall we say, those in us who have some problems with having heart attacks with maybe some misinformation. Is that correct?
Yes, they've been feeding us a lot of baloney.
That wouldn't be too good to eat either.
No. But look, the answer, and it's so simple, it's boring. Get off processed sugars. Eat healthy fats, mostly vegetarian fats. If you're going to eat animal fat, make it as lean as possible and from organic farms. And always fish. So that's the very basis of it. And I see cholesterol drop like a rock. Now, in specific individuals, we need to focus more on the liver because of the fatty liver thing. But the bulk of the work will be by staying off sugars, as we already mentioned. But you can help yourself by taking omega oils. Omega oils have been shown to lower cholesterol. What a paradox, huh? Especially yeah. The triglycerides. Triglycerides are a sure sign that your liver is fatty. And so omega oils have been shown to lower cholesterol, lower triglycerides. Then, of course, you can take the fermented red rice that we talked about. You know, that's over the counter. I would take CoQ10 with it because it does have that HMG coenzyme reductase suppression effect, thereby curtailing the amounts of CoQ10 available, which are mostly in spinach and sardines, CoQ10.
Oh, really?
You can supplement it, though. Yeah. So then you can take Heart Plus. Is a trade name, Heart Plus, created by Linus Pauling. Does that ring a bell?
The Salk? Linus Pauling.
Linus Pauling was the vitamin C guy and the DNA guy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he showed that a combination of amino acids, lysine, proline, laced with vitamin C, helped fix leaky arteries quite a bit. And so that concoction works differently from fermented red rice, which works in the liver. The Heart Plus, Linus Pauling's product, works on fixing the leaky artery. So when cholesterol comes out, oh, well, somebody's doing the job for me. I'll just go down, back down. So those things are very helpful for cholesterol. Then, of course, you want to help your liver process sugar. And the best I can think of is alpha-lipoic acid.
Okay, you're going to have to help me with that. Alpha what?
Alpha-lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C. Alpha-lipoic is an antioxidant from cruciferous. It's a drug in Europe to treat diabetic problems and liver problems. So it works mostly in the liver because it's a precursor. Alpha-lipoic acid is a precursor of glutathione, which is an amazing antioxidant from the liver for the liver and the brain. And so those are the most basic things one can do to lower cholesterol. Of course, exercise is also very helpful. And then, you know, the other thing that we learned from the Framingham study is that beyond a certain age, you don't need to worry about cholesterol, especially in women over 65. If you have lived that long with high cholesterol and you do a test to look at your coronaries, like a CT of the coronaries, and you find that your coronaries are whistle clean at 65 and beyond with high cholesterol, guess what?
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the way you are. So I still see this poor little old lady put on statin drugs, despite that amazing evidence from the Framingham studies, which is thousands of people over decades in New England. So that's my take on cholesterol. Now, Johnny, the thing that you brought up on the statin drugs, that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, you know that this is just the way the system works, is to throw a drug at you and call it good without striking at the root of the problems, without proper concern about the side effects that we talked about. But that's why I wrote another blog that people might check out, The State of Our Healthcare.
Great.
The State of Our Healthcare, which basically goes to show you how science is manipulated. Doctors are manipulated through dinners and trips here, trips there, games to the NBA games, football games. And so they're spending a lot of money on wining and dining doctors to influence how they prescribe. And I wrote in that blog that I, as a young, naive doctor, I fell under that spell myself. Happily, I recovered. So I'm not slamming human nature. You know, we all start to do good, but we have a powerful tendency to start worrying about doing well more than doing good.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, yeah, it's just that's who we are. And it's okay as long as we get a hold of ourselves, look at that tendency and nip it in the bud or control it or put it away, sublimate it, whatever the word is. Because we need to make a living. I mean, I don't begrudge people trying to make a living, but please do it responsibly, socially and environmentally responsibly.
Well, you know, one of the problems that I see that worries me, you know, Medicare for All may actually one day be on the stage. It's on the stage now. I don't know if it's going to actually happen, but it's an attractive PR thing right now, maybe for the Democratic Party. I think there's a debate over how much. But even so, if Medicare for All is not adequate because you're having so much of this research and so much of the solutions controlled by the pharmaceutical industry and these doctors you've talked about, who basically are kind of still servants of them, maybe not as much as before.
Sure, exactly. Any change is going to be opposed by those who are getting the gravy, are on the gravy train at the moment. But Medicare for All, I've been espousing that since, for 30 years now.
Yeah.
You know, the main rationale for that is simple. As much as we beat up on government offices, you've got to look this up. Medicare's overhead is 2 to 5%. You know what the overhead is for a regular insurance company?
No.
15 to 30%. So do the math.
Yeah. That's an
immense increment
in pricing for people who have medical problems.
Yeah. You know, as much as I don't like the president we have now, I agree with a lot of what he says. But right now, it's on the warpath to make pharmaceuticals available at the prices that people get outside the United States. That must happen. Number two, we need to allow hospitals and other pharmaceutical or people marketing drugs to price them, to negotiate the price with the pharmaceuticals, like Medicare is allowed to do, and with some drugs, not all drugs. But in other countries, you know, if you want a drug peddled by that government, the government is going to tell you, this is the price, take it or leave it. You know, you don't like? Well, we'll talk to another pharmaceutical making it cheaper. So we're not allowed to negotiate the price of drugs here in the United States, nor go abroad to buy the same drug.
And they're gigantically more expensive. Right, right.
Exactly. I
mean, not just a little bit. Well, it's just, you know, it's just the, you know, when I hear the relationship of Trump's base to all these things that he's promising, and he did say he would do that, but I don't believe he's done it yet, right?
No, he hasn't, but he has talked about it, and I'm hoping it'll happen. We'll see.
Yeah. So what do you think about the ongoing chance of Medicare for All being passed?
Wow. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I see more and more people jumping on that bandwagon every year. Look, I never thought that Medicare or Medicaid extension would pass in Utah, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
So people are just reaching a point where they're just fed up and they just, okay, let's just try anything but what we got now. Even conservative people are saying this when it comes to health care. I see it in my office all the time, these stalwart, nice Mormon people coming in, very conservative, very Trump-like, but they're all on board about reforming the healthcare system.
Yeah, well, because they've been, so to speak, kicked in the gut.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there was a time when we didn't have any healthcare coverage, and one of us got really sick. And if we hadn't gotten outside help, I don't know what would have happened. And when you went to you go to an emergency room, they'll just do the most inadequate thing first because it's the cheapest, and then they might move up. And so, therefore, her diagnosis was delayed for a long time because they didn't do the right investigation because they didn't really care. So,
well, the number one reason behind bankruptcies is healthcare costs, debts.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I want to thank you for helping all of us out on this program. I think that every time I talk to you, I get more concerned about my diet, and it's still nowhere near where it should be. I've been making a lot of efforts. But it's not always working in a straight line. But I seem to think that I'm going into a much more conducive diet, which is basically pretty much identical to what you've been suggesting. But you still have to deal.
Good. It's a process.
Yeah, there's a lot to it because a lot of this food is extremely addicting. And it tastes good, but it's like a lot of these pharmaceutical ads, if you don't listen to them, look very good too.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks. Is there anything you'd like to say about contacting you if people want? A lot of people listening might want a consultation by phone or something.
Yes, I do phone consults throughout the United States, and the best way to reach me is my website, hugorodier.com.
Okay. Do you want to leave your phone number?
It's in that website.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Doctor, and we'll be seeing you soon.
All right, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you. We will now say goodbye and then leave with a beautiful spiritual tribute to the omnipresence of the Creator with a song by Lightstorm called I Am. For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com.
In the beginning, the dawn of creation, I am. Destruction, I am. Without and within, the silence of all, I am. Reposing in bliss while dancing as light, I am. The great imposter, the seed of illusion, of life, the pure sound of Om, I am. The wave and the foam of this cosmic ocean, I am. The silent secret that rests at the bottom, I am. I am that I am. the dust of creation I am. Life's devastation, endured separation I am. The lover of love, the bride of awareness I am. The true self in all, the ultimate bridegroom I am. All mad desperation and final elation I am. The desolate pain of wanting and longing I am. The tender love flame inside every heart I am. Exposed in all living by burning and giving I am.
A shattered glass pane, yet always the same I am.